Welcome to Nothing But Fantasy. My name is Phil Nasons. I'm the co-host. Andrew Lamont is the other co-host of this weekly radio show dedicated to fantasy sports, and we're thrilled to be here. Andy, what's happening?
Oh, not a lot. Just an exciting week of winter meetings, and, you know, we missed a couple weeks, so we better get back on track here.
Yeah, we missed last week because my voice went completely haywire, and I had a rough week. But I got to say, it was interesting because I do so much other stuff, you know. Well, you know, because you publish a lot of my stuff at Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports. I don't ever really pay attention to the winter meetings until they're over. But Lenny, your significant other, kept sending me messages to keep me updated.
Oh, yeah.
It was nuts.
He was out of control, okay? He lived, breathed, eat, slept, and woke. Hot stove.
Oh, Lord. That must have been interesting in your house.
Well, it was. I mean, it's fine and all. It's kind of like Lenny's babysitter, you know? I mean, it took care of him for a week, but every time he found something good, he wanted me to publish it, like right now, you know? So I ended up getting him a Twitter account with only just the, like, top reporters, like John Heyman and the top MLB guys that are putting out the tweets. And I said, just retweet everything that's good. Only retweet good stuff. See, because in Twitter, people, and same with Facebook, you end up with so many people that you're following that it's really hard to sift through all of the junk to find the good stuff, you know? So if you're only following a certain amount of people, you're only following just for the specific reason, then it's much easier to retweet the good stuff. And then I was able to put it up, a feed up on our website, so that every time he retweeted something, it would come up on the website. I was like, yay, that was super. So we did that, and Lenny kept up huge on Hot Stove, and I'm right there behind him because I live in the same house. So what are you going to do?
Exactly. That's probably pretty interesting, but I did see that. You got him a TweetDeck finally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I use TweetDeck for NBA because, you know, when I was in Greece and I would be doing my show at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I would be and most of the time I would have to try to keep up with all the trade deadline stuff in the NBA. And I used to go crazy, dude, because there'd be so much crap on my timeline. I couldn't figure out who was saying what.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Tweet decks are important.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure exactly what a tweet deck is, but I think it's pretty much the same as what we're talking about. So
I think it is, yeah, where you just isolate whatever you want into one column.
Oh, yeah. I got him a whole new account for that, which is good.
Oh, right, which is good. See, he's lucky to have you.
Yes, he really is, and he knows.
Really? Yeah, he does. He tells me that all the time. I talk to him, well, as you know, every day. So he's one of the few people in fantasy sports that will talk to me, and you're the other one.
That's just because these fantasy guys, they're not sociable characters.
You mean the experts?
Yeah, for the most part, they're not that sociable. They're mostly into numbers and stuff, so don't feel bad. It's not just you.
No, it's okay. I don't feel bad because I prefer talking with you guys anyway.
Better
get that room ready. You never know.
It's ready.
Okay, so but anyway, back to our tremendous winter meetings.
It was pretty good this year. There was a lot of good, I mean, you know, a lot of action this year, which was fun because sometimes it's just so boring up until the last day, and then you see like a couple of trades and they're super great only because you haven't seen anything all week, you know. But it seemed like there was excitement spread out throughout the week, and it was fun.
What did you like the most about it? You got some, I know you got a bunch of notes. Give me something that you thought it was cool.
Of course, I'm a Red Sox fan. So
of course you are. You were very busy then.
I was very happy with it was, you know, an amazing trade for the Red Sox and for the White Sox. I think they both did well. It depends on who you talk to, how that's going to pan out. But of course, as a Red Sox fan, I loved the Chris Sale to the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's a good. That was a good trade.
What was yours?
Oh, you know what? I was really surprised that I have a whole list of things that I was surprised didn't happen, and some things that did. But you know what? I was really shocked about. I thought that the Orioles might trade Zach Britton, and here's why. Because people are probably going, "What the hell is he talking about?" And the reality is you know, when you look at what Cleveland had to give up for Andrew Miller, two of the top 100 prospects in baseball. And then you also had Remember what the Yankees got in return for Aroldis Chapman? I mean, what could you get for a Zach Britton? And I thought the Orioles, since they're going to lose Trumbo, and they already have Machado, would benefit from trading him, and I would be curious to see how much he would get.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That was spoken about a little bit, Machado, and I don't know what the Orioles are going to do. See, they haven't even really made any moves yet, so it's hard to say what they would do. But if they're going to do anything, they better, you know, with the Red Sox and the Yankees, in my opinion, aren't even going to be able to contend until, like, 2019. So I don't really put them high up on the contention list for 2017. But I don't know what the Orioles are going to do. They haven't done anything. They still have a good chunk of hitting there. So I don't know who would they put in as their closer. It's the same thing the Nationals are facing right now. Like, they gave up Melanson, but now they need a closer.
Yeah, that was another – that's on my list. I was really surprised. Were you surprised that they ended up – this is what got me. I really thought that Andrew McCutchen would wind up in Washington, but it turns out they were more interested in Adam Eaton, and they gave up – from what I read, I wasn't there, obviously – but from what I read, they gave up the same players for Adam Eaton that they would have had to give up for Andrew McCutchen.
Well, okay, so I don't know if they were as interested in Eaton as they were in McCutchen, but I think that they really loved what Eaton's contract is so little. They own him for the next several years. They own him for quite a cheap rate, and I know that people are saying that the Nationals really screwed up, but McCutchen is going to be way more expensive over the next few years than Adam Eaton was going to be, you know? So they would have still had to give up all of their prospects and still owe Andrew McCutchen a ton of money because they would have to re-sign him.
Well, that's a good point, too. I'm an Andrew McCutchen fan, so I would have thought – but I hate the Washington Nationals, so, I mean, I'm not really a big fan of Pittsburgh either, but at the end of the day, it just seemed weird. Okay, Adam Eaton, I would say last year was a breakout year, perhaps, and depending on who you ask, you can have several of them, but, you know, I would have thought that this is Adam Eaton. I don't see him in the same as McCutchen. I know McCutchen had an off year, but he's had such a long shelf life. I would have done it. I would have gone for McCutchen.
Well, okay, so McCutchen is signed through 2018 at close to $15 million a year.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, I know.
But they're, you know, if they're going to trade three prospects for the guy, they probably want to re-sign him, and he's going to be probably, I mean, depending on how he does next year. I mean, he had such a bad season last year. I don't know. I mean, Adam Eaton has some underlying really good qualities about him that are easy to overlook if you're playing fantasy baseball because it's his defense, for one. And plus his on-base percentage. The guy can get on base like crazy. His on-base percentage over the last three seasons is .362, the 10th best among qualifying outfielders and 25th of all hitters. He's got great defense, and he's hella cheap, like $23.5 million for 3 years, so whatever that equals out to be per season, and then a $9.5 million team option for 2020. That's up to the team whether they want to keep him or not. They could probably trade him again, you know. And Giolito and Lopez and Dunning, these three pitchers, they're all right-handed pitchers. Giolito, he was striking out a ton of batters in the minor leagues, like over 9 per 9 innings. And he had a 2.73 ERA in the minor leagues. When he came up to the majors, he only pitched 6 games, but he had a 6.75 ERA in those 6 games going 0-1. And I don't know if that's a good enough sample size to say that he's not going to be able to transfer over to the major leagues, but it happens all the time. So it wouldn't surprise me if this guy turns out to be a great minor league pitcher and not so great of a major league pitcher. So the theory is to trade him before they hit the major leagues, just in case.
Well, that's a good theory. I see your point. But I'm a McCutchen fan, and I would have rather – I don't want to see him in Pittsburgh and languish forever.
He showed up at the Fan Fest or whatever they have every year. You know, some players, they don't – like Danny Espinosa refused to go to the to the big party for the fans because he was pissed off about the Adam Eaton trade and knew that he was going to be traded, so he just doesn't show up. But it looks so bad on your character to not show up. Like, you're basically just hurting your pocketbook when you do that.
And then he got traded yesterday.
And he did get traded, and he's really happy about it.
I would be, too. So is Trey Turner, because he says now he can play shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew as soon as they got Adam Eaton that Trey was going back to shortstop and that Espinosa was just pretty much asked out of the mix. But he's a horrible – I mean, I don't know what he's going to be like with every day at bats, because his ceiling is like a 20-20 guy. He can steal bases and he can hit for a little bit of power. I just don't see it because his batting average is like barely over the Mendoza line every single season, and he just can't put it together at the plate. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Washington gained by adding by subtraction kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right. They did. You know, he got his wish, and now he gets to go to the worst team in baseball.
Right, so we'll see how that works out for
him. Adios, that's what happens. You know what? The grass is not always greener. I would rather be sitting in the Washington Nationals dugout if I were a major league player than being a starting shortstop for the Los Angeles Angels. You have no hope.
Well, you don't have any hope, but I mean, they're not as bad as they were. They're actually, they don't have any farm system, but that's not to say that they don't have any hope in the American League West. They're going up against teams like Seattle, and I mean, Texas is okay, but they have work to do as well to get back to even where they were last year. So it's not a tough division, although in the next few years they just don't have much hope. They did the best they could with what they have, I think.
Yeah, they did. I think you're right. And Texas, there's so many questions left by these trade from the winter meetings, like the Tigers, for example. I thought, you know, because we've talked about them like a couple of times on this show already, all the rumors about this guy getting traded and that guy getting traded, and nobody got traded.
Yeah, because they're really, like we talked about, you know, several times, they don't want to just deplete their team. They don't want to have a fire sale, but they want their payroll to be less money. So it's kind of like those two things don't really mix well together. It's really going to be pretty tricky to get that done, especially if you're trying to add players that are worthy to your team. So you don't want to give up Verlander. You don't want to give up Cabrera. You don't want to give up Kinsler. You don't want to give up Upton or, you know, JD Martinez. But in turn, then you're going to have to figure out how else to cut payroll, because it's not going to happen by doing nothing. And if they do nothing, it's worse than doing anything.
Well, that makes sense. But I wanted to see a trade. They say J.D. Martinez is good as gone, though. And maybe Jose Iglesias, too, is gone, too.
Why would they give up Iglesias? I'm not sure. I think I'm going to check out his contract right now, because Jose Iglesias may not be the fantasy, you know, star, but he's definitely a defensive
prowl. The pitchers will go crazy if they trade him.
He's a great, as far as, you know, he's probably the best defensive shortstop out there.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, you know what? I would say that Francisco Lindor might even be better.
Yeah, you're right about that. He could. Yeah.
He could. Francisco Lindor is like my new hero.
He's really good. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I like him. I tell you what, I'm gonna play in one fantasy baseball league this year because it's casual. Because I'll be gone out in the middle of nowhere again doing tennis. But I'm definitely going to draft Francisco Lindor in the first round. There, I just told you.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
I think last year, again, I hate to use the word breakout because I might go on a rant.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
But you know what? When you have a player who has 23 three hits or more in a game, 23 times?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
No, it really is. He's just so new to be drafted in the first round, you know? Like, what about... It depends on where you are in the first round. I mean, you're not going to draft him first, right?
I might.
Holy moly.
Because I don't like to draft Los Angeles Angels players, so I would not take Mike Trout. Or would I take Mike Trout? I would take Mike Trout first. Yeah, I guess I would have to break my string, but I never get to draft first anyway, so it doesn't matter.
So you're already preparing to draft late?
Yeah, because it's just a normal thing, and this way I get more excited if I draft early. I feel like I gain something.
So looking, it looks like going into the 2017 season, the Detroit Tigers are third in payroll at $173 million. So to say that, you know, they don't want to add payroll makes a lot of sense, because I think 180 is threshold.
It is, yeah, and that's
so
the Dodgers.
That's just for their 25-man roster. They have a total of $179,175,000. That makes them less than $1 million away from hitting the cap.
Wow, that's more than the Texas Rangers were worth when George Bush bought them.
How much were they worth?
$5 million, I think he got them for.
I didn't even know George Bush owned the Texas Rangers. That's pretty funny.
He did, yeah, he did. He got that was his like claim to fame. He made money in the oil industry, and then he bought the Texas Rangers.
So yeah, I'm looking at their.
This is what happens when you're old and bored and have nothing to do.
Kidding, right? Yeah.
Yeah. See?
I don't see Jose Iglesias even on the Detroit. Is he gonna? Is he the? Is he owned by the Detroit Tigers?
Yeah, of course he is. He's there for a couple more years. I think he has a very team-friendly contract. What are you? You're not looking at ESPN's depth chart, are you?
I'm looking at. I'm not looking at the depth chart. I'm looking at the payroll.
Where do you go? What site do you use for payroll?
SpotTrack.
Yeah, me too. That's the best one. He's got to be in there somewhere.
Jose Iglesias, where are you? Let's put him in the search bar here and find
him. I don't even think he's made it to arbitration yet.
I'm dying now. Okay, he's got 2016. Yeah, he hits arbitration 2 in 2017. So in 2016, he was 26 years old. His base salary was $2.1 million. And 2017, he can hit arbitration, the second arbitration, whatever that means.
All right, yeah, that means he's going to get some serious cash next time.
But it doesn't, that's what it says for 2017. I'm not really sure what that means.
At the end of 2017, he gets it.
Arbitration year 2, but there's no, his contract was 1 year, $2.1 million. That was in 2016.
Yeah, that's, he won his arbitration then, yeah. I thought this year was his first year. I didn't realize, but still in all, he doesn't hit very much, but the first 2 weeks of every season he does. He's a great guy.
It's worth it, man, totally.
Totally, totally. But for $2 million, you get a guy who can field like that? Are you kidding me? But fantasy baseball, you wouldn't probably take him, would you?
No.
No. You know who I got lucky on a couple years ago is Marcus Semien.
Okay, well, I tried to get lucky on him last year, and it didn't really work out. It worked out at the beginning of the season, and then all of a sudden he died. Like,
that's why shortstops suck. Who's your best shortstop? If you could take one player, who is it?
Well, I think Trey Turner is pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's okay, but I like Francisco Lindor better.
Oh, okay, fine, fine.
He's my new hero.
I know. I see this.
I love that guy. I'm going to buy a sweatshirt with Lindor on the back of it because it's cold here in Akron.
Average payroll for shortstops, $6 million.
Wow.
Toronto Blue Jays pay the highest. I think, what, are they rolling with, the Tulowitzki?
Yeah, Tulo, yeah.
Who's the shortstop for the Cards?
Oh, that would be, Eduardo Diaz, right?
God, I'm trying to think. They're the second highest. Was it Jed Jerko? I don't know who it was last year.
You know who it could be? You know why? Because of Johnny Peralta.
He plays third now. But, yeah, they were paying him. He must make a lot of money.
He makes a heck of a lot of money, like $15 million a year.
So.
And he got hurt. So he really hasn't lived up to it too much. I don't know how unhappy they are, though, because he's pretty good when he's on the field.
Yeah, he's okay. He's just old.
Yeah, he's just old. Yeah. What is he, 32?
I don't know. He's too old. He's too old for a shortstop. That's my thing. That's my feeling.
Okay. So what is the perfect age for a shortstop?
Like 24.
All right. There's a few of them out there.
27, 24 to 27 is probably the best, yeah. Oh, look at him. He's getting banked, though. he's been making $15 million a year since 2014, and next year he only gets paid $10 million, but that's probably all he's going to be worth.
Johnny, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to go down the toilet. What do you think Gene Segura should get?
Oh, I don't know. He's good, though, too. He's another good youngster, good shortstop.
Carlos Correa is a very good shortstop, too. He's a young kid.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah, see? He's all right.
He's in his second year of arbitration, too. He's making $2.6 million. Let's see what Correa is working. But anyway, let's talk about the Yankees getting Aroldis Chapman. What do you think about their dealio with Aroldis? They're giving him he's going to be 29 next year. So $86 million, 5 years, the highest paid closer ever in baseball. And that's fine and all if you're going to win, like, in the next 2 years while he's still in his prime. I'm going to tell you what I think, obviously, before you get to tell me what you think. So
go ahead.
He's been striking out 15.7 batters per nine innings since 2012. 1.84 ERA. Are you kidding me? Like, just absolute the best numbers by far. So that's why he's getting paid the biggest money by far. That's $17 million a year. But when do you think that the Yankees are even going to be able to contend? And what do you think about this 5 years? Is Aroldis Chapman going to be able to last this long? And now they got Dellin Betances going back to the setup guy, which is kind of bothersome for fantasy owners because there's just not that many good closers out there to choose from anyway. So this just puts one of them, like, you know, down the list since he's not going to get any saves.
Man, that was a lot of money. I tell you something. I think they made a deal with him before they traded him. Look, we're going to trade you, but we're going to re-sign you because there weren't any other rumors around about him.
You know, people talk about that happening all the time. I remember when Josh Beckett went west and all the Red Sox fans were like, oh, they'll let him go there, but then they'll re-sign him after this next year. You know, people talk about that all the time. And I'm like, you know, first of all, there's hurt feelings a little bit over the fact that you weren't willing to offer me, you know, after I won you a World, it helped you win a couple World Series and all this. And now, you know, if you weren't willing to pay me what the Dodgers are willing to pay me, then why would I want to come back? You know, because it's a big move. You don't just get up and pack your bags and move like from California back to Boston in one fell swoop. It's just not that easy. But this is the first time I've actually that I can recall even seeing that actually happen where a player went to win a World Series and then came back.
Yeah, that was kind of bizarre. But then again, the Cubs didn't want him back. So there you have it.
Well,
and now he's with the Yankees. And, you know, they have some good prospects, though. And they have the greatest of all time in Gary Sanchez. So, I mean, they're going to be fantastic this year. World beaters.
Okay. I don't think so. I'm not, you know, I'm obviously biased because I don't like the Yankees, but...
Well, I'm a Mets fan, so I despise the Yankees.
I also question, one's a lefty and one's a righty, so Aroldis Chapman's the lefty. And there's going to be certain situations that come up where the lefty isn't the best guy for the job, you know, or the righty isn't the best guy for the job at the moment. Is that going to take away from his saves, whether or not they call him the closer? How many times throughout the season are they going to stick Dellin Betances in that spot just because he's the best guy for the job or there happens to be a lefty or a righty up, you know, that just meshes better with one of the two?
You know what? Sometimes the best person for the job doesn't get the job. I think it's going to be they're going to stick with Chapman as long as they can because they're paying him a lot of money.
That's true.
A lot of money. $18 million a year is a lot of money. For a closer?
I think that the whole closer usage thing is changing big time in baseball. You know, the effector idea and all this.
The effector idea that you coined.
By the way, it's coming out. It's getting published this year in Fantasy Baseball Magazine.
There you go. And we'll make sure to get that.
Absolutely. I just think that the whole idea of how you use your closers and how you use the back end of the bullpen is changing. It's going to change. What Terry Francona did last year and what he's done over the past few seasons is it worked big time. It worked not only for him, but it worked for other teams as well, which I think is going to say something about how, you know, we just kind of started using this whole closer idea about 15, 20 years ago. And before that, these players were coming in, these pitchers were coming in the seventh and pitching through the ninth inning because that's, you know, that's what the game called for. every game's different, and every scenario is going to be different. But all this crap about how he can only come in the ninth inning and he can only come if there's a save opportunity, that's just, especially with the amount of money that they're paying him now, you know?
That's crazy money. Mark Melanson is a perfect example. He got some crazy money too, didn't he?
4 years, $62 million. That's 50.
Wow.
Yeah, he got $15 million a year, so it's only a couple. But Mark Melanson, and the only thing I don't like about it is the fact that he's 32. Well, he's gonna.
Yeah, but he's a closer, so I guess it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, it depends on which kind of closer. I mean, he's not a real high velocity closer. He relies mostly on his command and the movement on his pitches. So he's only pitching like in the upper 80s most of the time. So it's not like Chapman, who comes in there, and if he's not pitching 105, you know, he's just not lights out the way that he should be. Melanson's always just relied more on his command and being able to get it over the plate and being able to put a good amount of movement on it. So he might last a little bit longer because of that. But, and I think San Francisco did a great job by getting him. They needed him. They had 30 blown saves last year. Like, they shouldn't be having 30 blown saves with their infield and as good of defense as they have in their infield. So that's really, I think that's going to help them out. It's going to save them. It's going to make a big difference in their win column, I think. So we'll see what happens there. But at 32 in March, another 4 years on top of that, I don't like it. I don't like it.
It's a lot. Santiago Casilla blew 9 games last year for the San Francisco Giants. That's nuts.
Yeah. And they have a great infield defense. So that's another thing. I mean, if your defense isn't that good, then it's understandable why your closer is blowing so many saves. But the fact that they're up in the higher echelon of defense, it's just unacceptable. So
that's why you don't pay for closers in fantasy baseball.
Well, that's what Lenny thinks.
I think that too, though. I didn't even draft a closer in one league until like the last two rounds.
Did you win?
No. But then I was in Maine all summer, so I got kind of goofed up. But in fact, you know who I took? I had Brad Ziegler, actually,
he's not
last
bad.
Year.
Actually, he's not bad. He's a better pitcher than fantasy pitcher, but he's because he doesn't strike out a lot of batters. But he's still a decent closer, and he's, you know, he doesn't have a lot of blown saves.
Can you imagine having Tyler Thornburg on your team? You'd be kicking. You'd have a foot through the TV. You'd have to go to Best Buy every other day and get a new TV.
Oh, that's why
he had 8 blown saves last year.
Insurance policy.
He doesn't need an insurance policy. You need a psychiatrist if you draft that guy because you're going to need one.
No, you need to get an accidental policy on your TV so that.
All right, yeah, or you need a good insurance policy that pays all the money you'll need for the medication you'll have to take when he steps on the mound.
Well, okay, so let's talk about your boy, your favorite boy, Rich Hill. We talked about him before, I think.
Oh, Lord in heavens. Oh. You know something? I'm going to Long Island and pitch for the Ducks this year and rejuvenate my career. Do you think they have like a tennis team up there I can play for?
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I bet they do in the couple months out of the season that's actually sunny.
I can hang out with you guys and go to the park. Let Dad drive me to the park every week.
Absolutely.
he would love it.
So, your boy Rich Hill.
Oh, Lord.
Fabulous.
Here we go.
He's fabulous when he's on the mound. The guy's
awesome.
I mean, in 24 starts since 2015, mind you, that's two seasons. But that's a normal amount of starts that a normal starter gets when they pitch 200 innings. So, basically, he has, I don't know, 25 starts in 2 years. He's got a 2.0 ERA.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, but he pitched 110 innings last year. That was the second time that he's ever pitched over 100 innings in his life. So to give this guy $48 million for 3 years, that's risky.
That's very risky. But they seem to like him there.
Apparently.
You know, who wouldn't? He's a great story, though. But I gotta tell you, though, Blistex or whatever company is out there with blister ointment should be sponsoring him and put him in a commercial.
Doesn't he have blister problems?
That's what I mean. Yeah, he'd be perfect. He would be the greatest spokesman for Blistex if it worked. I mean, he missed like a month in between. He didn't pitch for like a month when he got traded because he had blisters.
One blister. That's just... Okay, I'm not going to say that it's weak because a pitcher obviously can't have blisters on their hands to throw at their highest, but I mean, just the whole fact of the matter that he hasn't pitched over 100 innings and he's a starting pitcher only twice in his whole career he's done it. He's, I don't know, he's 36, I think. He might be 35, but he's like in his upper 30s heading into this next season.
Yeah, Acheline, that's what I'm looking for. Acheline. Hey, folks, for Acheline, I think I should be Rich Hill's agent. Acheline would be perfect.
Only if Lister gets better and he doesn't miss any time, or else then the product isn't showing that it works.
Well, here's what I can say to you. This stuff for a little tube costs $17.96 on eBay.
Okay.
So if it didn't work, I'd be pissed. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have blisters on my hands. I mean, I probably should with all the housework that I do, but I don't.
Right.
I wouldn't know. You're a tennis guy. You tell me when you have a customer that uses it.
I don't. There's some, listen to this. There's a thing called Portland cream.
Oh.
I'm trying to help Rich Hill out, you know, and the Dodgers. With the payroll they have, they should be kicking us some cash if this works.
They have a huge payroll. They're second, or they might have the biggest payroll. I'm not really sure if they have been saving some money, like, in this winter meetings. But heading into last season, I think they had the highest payroll in baseball. I could be wrong.
But they don't have a third baseman.
Oh, good. So they have the highest payroll in baseball and no third baseman. That's
or a closer.
But they still have the opportunity to get Kenley Jansen. He's going to be the next one to go.
You think? Yes. Now, do you think he's going to wind up with the Dodgers?
The Marlins offered him 5 years, $80 million.
That's a lot of loot.
And the Dodgers need him, though. I mean, we'll see what happens. He's going to get a lot. If he turned down 5 years, $80 million, is that more than Chapman got? $86 million for Chapman. So he's going to break in the money. The Dodgers, they need a closer. They have nobody to close.
They have nobody, and they have nobody to play third base either. But I don't know what. Now, Justin Turner.
He's another one that they need to sign, too.
That's what I was going to ask you. You think he should, huh? I agree with that, too. I think they should. Now, if you were going to play fantasy baseball, now, Justin Turner, I happened the other league that I was in, when I got back from Maine, there was still time, and I remember picking up Justin Turner off the waiver wire. Somebody had already gotten rid of him. I think I picked him up, like, July 4th. Maybe I was still in Maine. Maybe my app worked that day. But I picked him up. He was still on the waiver wire, and he went on a roll. But he had an awful beginning. Now, when you play fantasy baseball, are you a Dr. Hook? Do you get rid of them if they don't perform right away, or do you wait? Are you patient?
Okay, I learned my lesson about that quite a few years ago when I dropped Troy Tulowitzki because he wasn't having a good first half of the season. And it was obviously the stupidest move I ever made. And the guy, I mean, one other guy in my league was like, just had Christmas that day. You know, it was like, I just picked this Troy Tulowitzki up and he wasn't doing well. So, yeah, I think I learned by getting burned by the fire that it's not a good idea to do that. And you knew going into the season that Justin Turner was not well. So anybody that drafted him heading into the season knew that he wasn't really going to be the perfect guy right off the bat. Maybe, you know, it was really iffy. That's why you got him so cheap. I actually drafted him in my NFBC league where we draft 50 players. And I, you know, Lenny kept telling me he's not healthy. But I mean, his work ethic is good. They do love him in LA. The fans like him there. So I do think that he's a good fit for LA. And because he end the season good?
Oh, yeah. He was very good.
So that's going to get him some money. But, yeah, there's a lot of questions still out there, like with Kenley Jansen, especially for the Dodgers. They don't have a third baseman, and they have no closer. They added Rich Hill to their – they needed a rotation guy as much as I need to have a root canal, like, you know, which I might need one, but as much as I want to have a root canal. Okay?
Yeah, right.
You don't need any more half-assed starters on their team. So we'll see what happens with that, but they should have invested their money in a third baseman or a closer.
Yeah, and I should have invested more money in the keeping these YouTube videos off when I'm looking around for stats.
Yeah, that's good. I couldn't hear it, if that makes you feel better.
That's okay, but it'll be on the recording, but I think it's underneath you, so I'll be able to get it out. But go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's talk about Wilson Ramos.
Oh, my. Why? What do you, what is Wilson Ramos? What about Wilson Ramos now?
Well, he was signed by Tampa Bay, which
Right.
I was kind of surprised about because, well, for a lot of reasons, but mostly because of his age and his injury risk, like his injury history. He's not even going to be able to, he's not going to be healthy until the middle of next season. So he's expected. I mean, we all know what it means to be expected back, Michael Brantley, okay? Because when you expect somebody to come back by the All-Star break, there's a serious chance that he couldn't even come back at all next season. He tore his ACL, which is, for a catcher, we don't even know if he's going to be able to come back. Whether it's completely healed or not, will he even be able to be behind the plate? So the fact that he got 2 years and he's 30 years old, $12.5 million a year, and 5.75 in incentives, which makes sense because if he doesn't play, he doesn't get the incentives pretty much. I'm surprised that he even got a job at all. And I'm actually kind of surprised that the Tampa Bay Rays were the guys to do it because are they really going to be, I don't know, is $6.25 million too much to pay for a catcher? Probably not.
Probably not. Not when you have that kind of potential. You know, that's what they signed him for, the potential. And, you know, he probably could DH for them, too, or play first. Maybe they have other ideas for him. I don't know. But it did seem like not a lot of money. If he wouldn't have tore his ACL, he would have got a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, he was having a great season, and you almost feel bad for him because
a breakout season.
Yeah, like 22 home runs. I don't remember exactly how many, but he had... He hit over 300, I know that. And so...
Yeah, you knocked it out. Here you go. Here's his slash line. 307, 354, 496, 22 bombs, 80 RBIs in only 131 games, and 122 starts.
That's really good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's breakout material there.
And you're right. He definitely could DH in Tampa because their DH list is not very deep. They got Brad
He could play first base there too, probably.
Right. Brad Miller too. Nick Franklin over there. So Nick Franklin can also play third base when Evan Longoria is injured. But can they even really, I mean, they better not, that really leads me to believe that they're not going to be selling their boys, their pitching rotation, which everybody's like already got their grimy little hands all over Chris Archer and Drew Smiley and Odorizzi. They can't really do that if they're going to be adding players and contend.
Nope, and that's probably what they're not going to do. But they didn't have to pay him that much money, though, whereas an Archer, they're going to have to pay a lot. But you want to talk about first baseman. Ian Desmond is now a member of the Colorado Rockies. But here's the thing.
What are they doing moving him to first base? I mean, I understand why they can't put him in the outfield. I get that. But...
I don't know. But here's the thing. Now, what happens if they sign Mark Trumbull? Because that's the rumor that Mark Trumbull's going to wind up in that town in Colorado.
No.
Now, so if he goes to play first base, then you know what you have? You have Ian Desmond, the super sub.
There's no possible way that they sign Trumbull on top of Desmond. There's just no way. I mean, they're in left field. They could put him in. They have Dahl out there in left field. I don't really know a lot about Dahl, but he's...
He hits the ball pretty well, too.
So he's not... But he's not Charlie Blackman. He's not Cargo. He's not...
I read today that Charlie Blackman is on the market.
He could be. Now, then, if they got rid of Blackman, then they could actually afford to do Trumbo, because then Desmond can go play. He can and should be out in the field, out in center field, because he's way too young and athletic to be stuck up at first base, and he doesn't hit for enough power to be comparable to the other first baseman in the league. That's not to say that just because he doesn't hit a bunch of homers, he shouldn't play first base, but don't you think it's kind of a waste of an able-bodied, athletic outfielder to just go to first base?
Yes, but in Colorado... In Coors, he's going to hit a lot of bombs.
Yeah, he should. And, you know...
Or he should.
He was one of the few that had over 20 home runs and over 20 stolen bases last year. I mean, he really made up for what was looking like. He might not even get signed last year when Texas took a chance on him. I mean, nobody wanted him after his poor, horrendous year the year before. He really made up for that. And he... They also gave up their 11th pick in this next coming draft, which... okay, so be it. You know, I mean, I'm all about taking the actual established player rather than, you know, trying to get the Giolitos or the Yoan Moncadas and all these. I mean, so maybe Moncada wasn't a good example because he's okay. But Giolito, he may never pan out, you know. Lopez.
Like Jose Berrios.
Jose Berrios. That's another funny subject. It's probably a side joke, but we should probably move on from that unless you want to talk about how many years somebody could have a breakout.
No, that's okay, because I would go on a rant for sure. But honestly speaking, the meetings were very, very interesting this year.
They were.
There's no question about it. I was thrilled by it in a way because there was a lot of stuff coming out every single day. Now the thing is, now where does Mark Trumbo sign then? You know, we talked about
Baltimore.
They can't afford him. Baltimore again?
Why not? Baltimore needs to do something. They need to hold on to a couple of these guys or they're not going to have any hitting.
Yeah, they don't want to have a Nelson Cruz, another Nelson Cruz incident.
Nelly Cruz is what? Well, he went to Seattle and he's hitting fine there.
He was hitting fine in Baltimore too, but they didn't even offer him a contract.
Yeah, well, he got in a little trouble with his PEDs and stuff, so I don't know. They knew.
But that was after, though. I mean,
I'm not sure.
I think Baltimore. I don't know. You know, whatever. But the point is that they need to do something there.
Yeah.
Chris Davis. What do they do with him?
Where's Batista going to go? What about Encarnacion? What are these guys? Their market is dwindling.
These guys, here's the thing. I've started to become one of these guys who believes these dudes are really greedy and not very smart, or they don't have very smart advisors.
Agents.
Yeah, because they don't have. You got these guys who were offered, like Bautista was offered a ton of money. Encarnacion was offered a ton of money to stay where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And they declined it because they thought they could go get more. They're not going to get what they thought. Encarnacion is not going to get $80 million now, is he?
He could get $80 million. I don't see a problem with that. What they're trying to do, though, they were offered $80 million for 4 years, but they don't want 4 years. They're wanting to get, like, they have Robinson Cano as their mentor saying, you know, we can get 9 years on this. No, nobody's going to pay you 9 years. Nobody. Like, I mean, teams are getting bit big time for these long-term contracts, and it's not what it used to be. They're not going to pay, you know, $120 million for the next 7 seasons. They're just not going to do it. And to
1 year contracts. That's what I think they should go back to.
I mean, that protects the team. There's got to be a happy medium here where you could get, you know, what the Toronto Blue Jays already offered to either Batista or Encarnacion. I can't remember which one, but they offered him like 4 or 5 years for $80 million.
That was Encarnacion.
That is off the table now. They are not going to give them that now.
Why would you?
No.
I would say go kick rocks.
Absolutely.
Go get your money somewhere else.
And then, you know, these agents are out here acting like it's no big deal. Well, Ian Desmond is a perfect example of what happens when you wait too long.
Oh, right.
Especially when there's other hitters on the market. You're not the only hitter on the market, Jose Bautista. And after
Steven Drew.
You know, it's amazing to me, you know. And after Batista's little fit that he threw last year because they weren't offering him an extension worth having, you know, why would they want him back? Why does he even want to be back there? Probably not.
And even if he does, the fans are going to hoot on him forever.
They might if they lose.
They say people were talking here that they may try to sign him in Cleveland, but then I wouldn't do that. The Cleveland fans will hate him.
Cleveland isn't going to sign him for $100 million.
They might sign Encarnacion, though.
I think they're both decent hitters, and they'll both probably be very valuable for the next 3 to 4 seasons if they stay healthy.
But 9 years? Come on. They're acting loony. That's nuts.
There's no way. So
no way.
Okay. Are we done?
So what else do we got?
That's it.
That's it, eh? We went through it all?
I think so.
That's perfect. All right, I tell you what. For Andrea Lamont, I'm Phil Nasons. Thanks for listening to Nothing But Fantasy. But I know that